Hello and rise up. Welcome to the show. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10. Happy Fri-yay. In addition to our news for Friday, October 10th, 1010, we're highlighting some of you today, the best viewers in the world, and we can't wait. First, we're going to lock in, though, and get you your news. Get it? Got it? Good. Let's go. Huge breaking news yesterday as Israel and Hamas agreed to a ceasefire deal. The first phase of a U.S.-brokered ceasefire plan will allow for the release of all living hostages in Gaza. 20 remaining hostages are believed to be alive. Also, Israeli troops will be withdrawing to an agreed-upon line, which means from most of Gaza, and some Palestinian prisoners will be released as well. The deal between Hamas and Israel was moderated by officials from Qatar, Egypt, and Turkey. U.S. President Donald Trump praised them for their assistance and said the hostages are likely to be released on Monday. His announcement did not address some sticking points in the proposal, including Hamas disarmament and governance of Gaza.
We ended the war in Gaza and really, on a much bigger basis, created peace. And I think it's going to be a lasting peace, hopefully an everlasting peace. Peace in the Middle East.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will convene his government to vote on the agreement. The first phase of the deal can only proceed if the cabinet votes in favor. And while the agreement has been met with celebration in Israel and Gaza, some are concerned a comprehensive peace deal may still not materialize.
One woman's prayers of thanks that the war is ending, as phase one of the Gaza ceasefire plan is agreed. What sounds like celebratory gunfire is heard in the distance. As the sun rises, Gazan residents assess their new reality. I feel joy, this man says. 2 years of torment and repression, displacement, lack of food and water. I'm happy the war will end. The bleeding we see every day will end. The nightmares we see. This 70-year-old woman says, it's true, I'm happy in the moment, but now we feel the pain of our memories. I lost my daughters, my brother's daughters and their children. Most of our family died and our homes were destroyed. This man voices concern. He says, we have seen ceasefires before that lasted 2 months and then the war returned. It's true, I am extremely happy, but my joy is tinged with caution and fear. Despite the hope of the promised surge in humanitarian aid, the harsh reality of Gaza has not changed. 2 years ago, 12-year-old Mohammed Abu Amra was in school. He's now 14, and this is his life in Gaza, sifting through rotting waste to find anything that he can sell to help his family survive. We collect wood and plastic for fires, he says. There's nothing else to light a fire with. 2 years ago, before the war, I didn't even know what a garbage dump was. There are 11 people to feed in his family. He says two of his brothers were killed by a drone strike after being displaced from Gaza City. This is Al-Mawasi in Khan Yunus, an area the Israeli military has forced hundreds of thousands of Gazans to move to over the course of this war. This is the area Israel calls a, quote, humanitarian zone. Hopes that peace will last this time are palpable across Gaza, but also tainted by previous disappointments, a peace that some in Gaza have never even known. Paula Hancock's CNN Abu Dhabi.
Next, we go to the latest announcement of this year's Nobel Prizes, those annual esteemed awards bestowed upon those who embody greatness in their fields. The Nobel Prize in Literature goes to Hungarian novelist László Krishnahorkai, whose dark and difficult novels have drawn him praise for being the, quote, master of the apocalypse. The 71-year-old was born in Hungary just before the Hungarian Revolution in the 1950s, which was met by decades of brutal Soviet repression during the Cold War.
You can say that he's an extension maybe of the European modernist kind of epic writing that we have seen so many examples of before. But it takes it to new heights, if you can put it that.
His first novel was published in 1985, before the fall of the Berlin Wall. His ensuing works have drawn widespread acclaim for their bleak and visceral depiction of life in the region. Pop quiz, hotshot, which soda brand was originally marketed as a cure for indigestion? Pepsi, Dr. Pepper, 7-Up, or Coca-Cola? If you said Pepsi, keep popping. The name comes from the word pepsin, an enzyme which aids in food digestion. However, Pepsi never actually contained pepsin. The carbonation in soda, though, may make you feel temporarily less bloated. In California, school lunches across the state are set to become healthier after some landmark legislation. Governor Gavin Newsom signed the Real Food Healthy Kids Act into law this week. It will define and ultimately ban ultra-processed foods from the 1 billion meals served to school children across the state each year. A recent CDC report showed that kids in the U.S. get nearly two-thirds of their calories from ultra-processed foods, which are packed with additives, high-calorie sugar, salts, and fats. The California law will require public health officials and scientists to identify which of those foods are most harmful to human health, and they will be officially phased out of school lunches by 2035. In space news, turns out it's pretty difficult to land on Mars. Two older landers got knocked out of commission due to the red planet's so-called dust devils. But now, scientists are learning how to avoid them. They looked into data from two orbiters regarding the planet's tornadoes, which hurl large amounts of dust into the Martian atmosphere. And they realized that the twisters are stronger and raised more dust than they previously thought. So, they're hopeful now that they'll be able to find better landing spots for probes on future missions to Mars. Today's story, getting a 10 out of 10, the thousands of emails, social media messages, videos, and photos that you sent us telling us about your 10 out of 10 moments from 2025 so far. You all brought it. First up, a moment from GHV Community School District in Garner, Iowa. Seventh grader Hadley Larkin served 21 points in a row for her volleyball team. Her teammates say she's just the second person in the entire district to do it. Way to go, Hadley. And from Washington State, Hatim Omer shouting out his sister Saba, who just learned to drive in their new city, Mountlake Terrace. Keep those hands at 10 and 2. Buckle up. Well done, Saba. And from North Miami, Florida, Jacob bowled 11 strikes in a row for his high school. That's just one shy of a perfect game, bro. Jacob got a 10 out of 10 out of 10 out of 10, 11 times. Well done, sir. So many of you sent acts of service and kindness as your 10 out of 10 moments. Fort Myers, Florida, De La Salle Academy holding a field day with local minor league baseball team, the Mighty Muscles. They raised over $2,000 for the Best Buddies organization, Rise Up. And Addie Johns in Raleigh, North Carolina, sent us these photos. She received her Bronze Award, the highest achievement a Girl Scout Junior can receive. She collected donations and made care packages for kids at Duke Children's Hospital. Addie, salute. Finally, from Pittsfield, Massachusetts, 12-year-old Elliot Mack holds a lemonade stand every year to donate money to local organizations. This summer, he collected more than $10,000 to be donated. Play that Friday music, Nader. This world needs your positivity, your victories, and your words of encouragement. Thank you for letting us share part of you with the world. You are more powerful than you know. Now, we are off for the national holiday Monday, so we'll see you Tuesday. Have an awesome weekend. I'm Coy Wire. We are CNN 10. It's been a blessing to spend this week with you.